And really, I could be like, okay, think about that. And then, So the amazing thing about Relief Society is that they ask like 4 months in advance, and then things in your life start happening, right? And you find out what the Lord really wants you to know and what He wants you to know. So a month ago, my mom and dad are serving a mission in Orem, Utah, the brand new mission, and they're opening up that mission. And so I had some neat experience I wanted to share with my mom, so I called her, and I said, I've got this. It was a neat spiritual experience. I've got this experience I want to share with you. And she said, okay, but I am expecting someone at my door any minute, so if I have to go, just understand. And come on in. I totally understand. That's fine. So I start talking, and she said, oh, he's at the door, and I gotta go. Okay, so no problem. I'll call you right back. Okay, and it was like 4 hours later because she's super busy. She has lots going on, and so she calls back 4 hours later, and I immediately rushed. Okay, sorry, I'm sorry. It's been crazy. What's going on? And I still want to tell her this story, so I start talking and tell her what's going on. And she's saying uh-huh in the wrong places. And she's not saying uh-huh when she should. And I can hear her like, come on in. You know that we've all had those conversations. And I'm still like plugging away because this was a neat experience. And it gets towards the end where this is like the pinnacle moment of the conversation. And she says, oh my gosh, the missionary just shut off the door. I gotta go. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, Emily. Okay, bye. And she hangs up, and I look at my phone, and it says, mom, call ended. And I admit, I acted kind of like a two-year-old, and I threw the phone down on the couch, and I'm like, that's rude. Busyness is rude. And then I thought for a second, I'm like, because this was perfect, because my mom is my idol, like, if I could be like her, I just know that I'd be okay in the long run. And I thought, if she knew that it had hurt my feelings, she would just die. And I thought, does this have to do with the women's conference conversation with God? And I got a confirmation that we are a little too busy and a lot too distracted, and our conversations are lacking with God. They're rushed and they're hurried, and we need to just be still sometimes and take the time to communicate with God. So everything I say, I want you to just kind of plug it into that scenario. Am I too busy to do that? Am I too distracted to do that? Okay. So the first overall arching thought would be, does God care? Does God communicate with us? Is that possible? And for that answer, I turn to Mark in the New Testament, Mark chapter 4. This is around verse 37, I think it starts. Christ had been teaching on the shores of Galilee all day long with his disciples, and he had piles of people with him. I'm sure many, many following him around, and he's tired. It's the end of the day, and he says, let's go get in the boats, and let's cross the sea, and we'll go get another group in the morning. So they all get in the ship, and he quickly falls asleep, right? We know the story. He falls asleep because he's tired, and it's dark, and a storm arises, a great tempest, and it starts just raging, the wind and the waves, and it gets so extreme that the boat is filling with water. And finally, one of his disciples turns to him and wakes him and says, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He wakes him, and immediately the Savior arises, and he calms the storm. He says, peace, be still. Okay. And then he says, why did you fear? And I, as a kid, I mean, haven't you, when you hear that, you're like, well, because they thought they were going to drown. I mean, it seems pretty obvious, right? But I think what he was saying is, I've been here all along. I'm right here with you. You had to have the faith to know where to turn. So this is how I liken that story to communication. It's like I'm in the boat. We're all in the boat of life. And and the Sea of Galilee, that storm, is the world. It's those waves of depression and anxiety and loneliness. It's the wind of the social pressures of too much money, too little money, not feeling good enough, not feeling adequate. That's the storm that's going to hit us. And sometimes we have beautiful sunny days on that sea. But the key is, where is Christ in this story? Is he on the shoreline? Is he in the water? Is he in the wind? No, he's in the boat. He's in the boat. He's ready and willing to help us. He's right there, and he's with you the whole time. And what is my portion of it, my responsibility is to not have fear, thinking I gotta like muscle this out all by myself, I gotta do it all by myself, but have the faith to turn to Him and know that He's the only one that can help me in this storm, right? So this is what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about how we wake Him. He says in DNC 88, draw near unto me, and I will draw near unto you. Seek me diligently, and you shall find me. Does this sound like a God that doesn't want to communicate with us? There's just no way. He's there. He's waiting. Draw near unto me. Think of Him like sitting in a chair, and you scoot a little closer, and He scoots a little closer. It's just, you know, we're getting closer to each other, and He's there ready and waiting to help us. It's just, we need to draw on Him. I also think of, like, if we were in this room, to have God on this side of the room and Satan on this side of the room, I envision it in our lifetime where God would be sitting there, or Christ, just sitting there and just waiting. Because we hear He always says, peace, be still. He has a lot of calmness, and there's a gentleness, and He's just waiting patiently. And His arms are outreached still, right? We hear that a lot in Scripture. And Satan's over there doing this dance, just like, oh my gosh, look at me. And he's being noisy, and he's screaming, and he's yelling in your ears, and he's just doing everything to turn, that you want to turn to Him. But God is always there, just ready and waiting to help. Okay, so the first thing you think of when communication, when I ask my friends, what do you think of? It's always prayer, right? I think our end of it is, first of all, prayer. If you look through the Scriptures, there's some great verbs in prayer. And I want you now to think a little bit about your own prayers and these scriptural verbs. 2 Nephi 4, this is Nephi saying, I have waxed bold in mighty prayer. Enos says, I will tell you of the wrestle I had with God. And he also says, my soul hungered. Have you ever hungered in your prayers? In DNC 109, this was the dedicatory prayer of the Kirtland Temple. We plead before Thee for deliverance. And Alma 33:5, this is Zenas talking. He says, Thou did hear me when I did cry unto Thee my prayer. So we have bold and mighty prayer, wrestling, hungering, pleading, and crying. Some of you may have seen this. It came out around Mother's Day. This is Patricia Holland. She has a great statement about prayer. She says, if we are to search for real light and eternal certainties, we have to pray as the ancients prayed. We are women now, not children, and are expected to pray with maturity. In some sense, prayer may be the hardest work we will ever be engaged in. Now, when I read that, I thought, oh, that's cool. I kind of like a challenge. But then at the same time, I thought, well, I don't know that I want it to be hard. I don't know that I want prayer to be hard in it. I don't know that I would label prayers hard for me. But then she mentions this song, which clarified it for me. And it is, prayer is a soul's sincere desire. Think about that statement. Prayer is a soul's sincere desire. Is it my soul's sincere desire that I get home safe from church to my home? Is it that my like spaghetti dinner is going to be really nutritious? Is that my soul's sincere desire? Probably not, right? But my soul's sincere desire is a whole different ballgame. That means, like, if I can just weed through all the other stuff that we may say culturally in a prayer, or things that we've always just done, if we just kind of weed through that and then just say what we really mean. Let me give an example of this. And it's funny because these two people actually happen to be here. This is my husband, Adam. My oldest daughter, Abby, she's about to graduate. And this happened to them. So about 10 years ago, my husband was a new pilot. And they were flying home. Abby was the co-pilot that day. And they were flying home from St. George in a small plane. And he's a VFR pilot. That means he doesn't fly through clouds, but he had to shoot through clouds a little section. But when he got up into the clouds, it was thicker than he thought. And so he took it off autopilot, and just he knew he was supposed to rotate and turn and come back around. But because he was still new to it, he kind of took it too sharp. He did it, and the plane kind of did this 180 when it was just coming down way too fast. And he knew something was wrong. It ends up kind of coming into a spiral. And he's frantic, and he's kind of uncertain as to what to do. But he does know, he has enough sense to turn to Abby, who's 10 years old at the time probably, and said, Abby, pray now. Okay. And do you think she said, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. I'm so grateful that we got to go to St. George. I mean, this to me was a perfect example of a soul's sincere desire. She calls out, save me. I'm too young to die. Perfect, perfect prayer. That is your soul's sincere desire. There's no fluff about it. And I just looked up and he was crying. Hold on. It was a miracle because that plane was going down and he came through the clouds and it just, just after that sincere desire, Master, carest thou not that we perish? It's knowing where to go, right? And they knew, both of them knew what to do in their hour of need, and that plane just leveled out. So think about your prayers. Are you praying your soul's sincere desire? Do you think that God knows every little thing about you? He doesn't need all the other stuff. Just go right to the heavy stuff. And it doesn't have to be long. It can be one line. Pray your soul's sincere desire. Okay, so the second thing we would think of about waking the Savior, getting him on board with you, is searching for his words. Like DNC 88 says, draw near unto me, I will draw near unto you. Seek me diligently. Okay, that's key. Seeking him diligently. I want you to think why you study the gospel. Why do you put forth the effort to study the gospel? There is a ton of truth out there. My sister Anne is here right now. She's seeking truth. She's in her second year of medical school. There's a lot of truth out there to be sought. Why do you do it? We have to have, I think it's important, maybe you take some time today or tomorrow to think, why do I do it? And maybe you think, why don't I do it? What is it that is holding me back from putting forth a diligent effort in studying the gospel? Now if we just want to hear straight up his words, you're going to go to the scriptures, the standard works. They're called the standard because it shows us the standard that we must live by. The standard works, and then also all the apostles and prophets from Joseph Smith on. We have so much of his word in our life, and it's a great, great blessing. But you need to know why you do it. I think it's important because it solidifies your testimony. So that's kind of what I did, and thinking in preparation for this, I thought, why do I do it? So I'll just share two reasons why I put forth the effort to study the gospel of Jesus Christ. The number one thing for me is I come to know who he is. It's interesting to me that the people in the world say, yeah, God is love. I got it, right? And then that is dead on. I mean, they are totally right. But there's so much more to God. There's patterns to the way he works. There's prayers that he will never, ever answer. Do you want to know what those are? Like, he will never answer certain prayers. It'd be kind of important to know, like, okay, you know, some people get frustrated because they're asking the same thing over and over and it's not getting answered. But if you look at the patterns in the scriptures, you'll see that's just not the way that the Lord works. For example, from the minute I had my first child, I said, give me patience, give me patience, give me patience, give me patience, give me patience. I've been praying, you know. And I did figure out that when you pray for that, he gives you opportunities to have patience. I'm like, ah. And if you don't get patience, he'll keep giving you opportunities to be patient. And I realized that after some time in the scriptures. And then, because I came to know him and the patterns and the way he works, I realized, oh, I can pray for God's grace and his strength to help me get through these experiences. I can plead with him to hedge up the way of Satan before me, hedge up his way before he gets to me, like Nephi does, or make my path straight and my enemies crooked. Make it that I may shake at the appearance of sin. See, as you come to know him, your prayers can be more sincere because you now know what to pray for. You know how he works, and you come to love him. If we're really thinking just straight up communication, he knows us inside and out. He is our Father and our Creator. But do we know him? And you see that sets us back if we don't make an effort to know him. We're two steps behind. But as we make that effort, we come to know him more. So that's probably my number one reason. I loved getting to know him. And when I pray, now I feel like I know him a little tighter. Secondly, I would say the words of God are very, very comforting to me. Because, you know, I'm in this boat and I'm getting tossed around. The other night I went to a movie. It was 3 hours of, like, endless violence and, like, God didn't matter, morals didn't matter. And it wasn't rated R because now, you know, PG-13s can be equally miserable. And I felt, like, completely depleted. And I felt at a loss. And I came home and I knew what to do. I needed comfort. And for me, comfort comes in the words of the apostles and prophets and scriptures. So I read Bednar's last talk. It's like, "And their fear shall be hushed," or something like that. Oh, it's so good. And it just went, ooh, and just filled me right back up. Like, okay, there's a plan to all this. Everything's all right. These words speak comfort and peace to me. So think about why you study the scriptures, why you study God, seek God's words, and know what it is. To remind yourself when you start slacking, I'm like, oh, I just don't know if I can do it today. You need to know what your purposes are. If you don't have them yet, you can rely on the testimonies of others, or you can do as the scriptures say and just start planting that seed. Have faith. Faith is like a little seed, right? And just start doing it, and these miracles will start happening. But you have to do it. Okay, so that's my plug for scripture study. let's see. Okay. Now for the part that really, really gets skipped, I think, in communication, and that is pondering. This is incredibly important. Think in our busy, crazy world, how much we let this particular thing slip. This is when we listen. And ideally, this can be mingled, right, with our prayer and with our scripture study. They're kind of intertwined. Imagine if we're having a conversation. Well, I know. A couple that's like this, and none of you know them because they don't live anywhere near here. But they both talk, and the second that person's done, the other person's talking as fast as they can, and then the second that's done, the other person goes right back, and I just think, wait, do you guys know each other? Like, you've lived with each other for 15 years, do you know it? Because there's not even a breath in between before they want to just talk right over the top of each other. We can't do this with God. It's just not going to work because we've got to have a little gap for the Holy Ghost to speak to us. We've got to have some time. So even if you say, well, I read a chapter a day, no matter what, I read a chapter a day, and that is awesome, I'm reading a chapter a day. Well, if you don't pause at any time in that chapter a day, the Spirit's kind of going, you know, the Spirit's like trying to communicate with you, but you're like, I get my chapter, check, and now I'm the best, I read my scriptures. But you've got to have that time. So as you're praying, as you're reading, you feel that little Spirit, like, it's just, wait, you stop. And then for me, I ask questions. I say, did I just hear this? I just repeat it and I ask. And sometimes it's no and I move on, but almost always it's like, yes. And then there's some further understanding, then it leads me somewhere else, and then I've just completely diverted, and it's so much fun and it's totally entertaining. That's communication when you're able to stop and listen. So think about your busy lives. Do you have the time? Do you make the time to stop and listen? And for those of you with little kids, it's almost impossible. I found that shower time is awesome. Toilet time is awesome. It's time that no one's bugging you. I really think about also on your way to, like, you drop kids off to school, and you almost always probably have radio or some music or some talk radio or something. That was me for years and years. I've learned to turn that off and just take that moment, because I had studied early in the morning, and then I just asked some questions. You know, what do you want me to do today? And just sit there for a little bit. And oftentimes it doesn't. It's just me. To me, it's showing kind of respect. Like, I want to hear what you have to say, right? So it's something that cannot be missed in our communication with God. My husband had a neat experience with a missionary, a convert missionary. I shouldn't say missionary yet. With this convert, who was converted. I think he was 20 years old, maybe 20. Yeah. And he's baptized, and then had impressions that he should go on a mission, but he hadn't asked. Yeah, and so he came in to his bishop, and he told Adam what it was, and he said, I feel like I need to go on a mission. And Adam said, well, have you asked? No, I haven't quite asked. He said, let's ask. He's like, right now? Yeah, let's ask right now. So they got on their knees, and Adam offered the prayer, and he asked if Michael needs to go on a mission. And then he did not close the prayer, and they waited on bended knee for minutes. And then he says there was a very unmistakable yes that just swept through the room. And they both were just sobbing, and they closed the prayer and embraced. And from that moment on, there was no question he should serve a mission. And he had a lot of opposition. His family was not okay with him serving a mission. But he never, ever questioned that. That was a confirmation, because the Holy Ghost will pour pure intelligence into your mind. It's unshakable. And that came to him. He just returned from the Budapest, Hungary mission on Thursday. So he is home now. He just returned. If you want to come to that homecoming, we don't have homecomings, that talk in church, it's tomorrow at 1 o'clock. But what a good thing. We just stop and listen. Sometimes we have questions and things that we need answers to, but we need to stop and listen. Okay, the last thing. In Joseph Smith history, verse 13, it says, at length I came to the conclusion that I must remain in darkness and confusion, or else I must do. As James Jackson goes, you know, right? He says, I must do. Imagine that a friend comes to you with a problem, and this has happened, and you actually have been through it, and you know how to solve that problem. You're crystal clear on how to solve this problem. And your friend comes to you and says, I've got this problem, this is terrible. And you say, okay, you need to do this. And you lay it out to her. And then the next day she comes to you and says, oh my gosh, I have this problem. You're like, okay, you do this. And you lay out the answers to her. Exactly, right? And then the next day she comes to you and says, oh my gosh, I have this problem. And you're like, okay, let's start with baby steps. I'll give you the very first step. Here it is. It's just a baby step. And then the next day she comes to you. Oh my gosh, I have this problem. Do you think that you might be like, okay, enough. I'm not going to tell you anymore. Figure it out. Yes, God does this with us. We've been told that God will do that. If we don't act, he's going to stop trying to help until we put forth the effort to act. So we've prayed, and we've studied, and we've pondered, and we have received. So our job then is to write it down. If you're not a writer, I don't know, somehow, like, think about it daily. Okay, this is what I've been told to do. And then act. And when we act, then God's like, okay, we're getting somewhere. And then when you come to him again, it happens again. And that act, with all of it together, you start progressing and moving forward. And that is communication, right? All of it together. And then we have that strength to move forward and progress and know God's will for us in our lives. So sisters, I want you to think about your own lives, where you're doing great, and the Spirit will confirm that to you. And that's important, sisters, that we know where we're doing well. My husband always gets after me about that. He's like, you gotta look at the good stuff, the things that you're doing right. And so I tell you, it's important that we know what we're doing well. And the Lord will tell us, the Holy Ghost will tell us, it's very, very important. But also, look at where maybe we're a little too busy or distracted. And even if we're all alone, distractions don't just come from kids or husbands. They can come. It can come from TV and noise and busyness, right? We know that even loneliness can be a distraction. We have to be very careful. Evaluate where you're busy and distracted, and then go through each of these elements, you know, improving your prayers, improving your scripture study, knowing why you do it, taking the time to ponder, and then act. I testify to you that this stuff works. It's exciting. This is why I love the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is alive and real. And together, we strengthen each other, and we grow, and we progress, till ultimately someday we will all be together with God again. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much, Emily. That was really, really perfect. We have a little bit of time. If you guys want to hang out in here and ponder or chat, quietly with your neighbor, that is fine. The next class won't start for about 20 minutes, so hang out. Okay. Thank you.
It was beautiful.
Thank you.